Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. There's no business like your business. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, celebrating 20 years of bringing the outdoors to Colorado Radio, here's Terry Wickstrom.
Good morning. What a beautiful day. Isn't this? These fall days are fantastic. You know what the biggest problem I have, other than having to be in the studio? And, you know, I love being in the studio. I should never say that, because I love sharing the outdoors with all you people that listen. It means a lot to me. The biggest issue I have this time of the year, though, is both personally and on the show, is what do we talk about? What do we have? What do we cover on the show? And what do I want to do when I go out after the show or the next few days? Because it's just a tremendous, tremendous time of the year when there's so much going on in Colorado, and we're going to cover a lot of it. We're going to cover some fishing. We're going to cover some hunting. We're going to cover some special events and things that are going on with Colorado Parks and Wildlife. So we got a lot going on. And hey, you know, if you want to keep track when there's special events and stuff coming up on the show, go to just go to my Facebook page, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. I'll tell you more about it later in the show, but there's a link to my Denver Post articles. My most recent one is on duck hunting in North Park area. That just hit both the print and the online version yesterday. You can go back to past articles. We put our YouTube channel up there so you can see some of our shows. Karen puts a new show, there are legacy shows, but she adds another one to the YouTube channel every couple of weeks. So a lot going on at Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on Facebook. So you should follow us there. Let's go right to the phones now, though. And joining us, he's a very accomplished tournament bass angler. He's placed higher. Well, if we go through his resume of tournament finishes, we won't have any time to talk to him. Just take it my word for it. He does really well. You see him at the International Sportsman's Exposition on the demo tank. And what I love about him is the time he gives to the youth fishermen in Colorado. And that's Sam Heckman. Good morning, Sam.
Morning, Terry. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. And, you know, we've been getting reports. There's kind of a transition time going on. Mountains are transitioning a little quicker, a little different than down here on the Front Range. We've had some warm weather. But we're starting to get that change in fishing. And we're going to get into some really good fall fishing. And I know you spend some time down Pueblo and the southeastern part of the state. So I thought we'd kind of touch base with you and maybe get an update on what's going on. First, what's the water level at Pueblo like?
Well, you know, it's dropping still. It's an irrigation lake, so they're taking water out of there, and they'll take water all the way till November 15th. So, and that's the thing that's going on right now. They're still taking water, and, you know, they're with the southern delivery system going to the springs, and with the irrigation with Bessemer Ditch open, which is still wide open as of yesterday, the water's still dropping pretty good.
Well, and if they're bringing water, but they started the year fairly high. And this isn't going to be, I don't think, a drastically low year. I just think it's going to be a normal dropping. Is that what you think?
Yeah, you know, it's we're fortunate to have, you know, this year started really good where water was coming over the dam on the high wind days. So it hasn't gotten down to levels like we've seen it, unlike, you know, some of the stuff they're seeing on the western slope, which is tragic right now.
Oh, it really is. And if we don't get an excellent snowpack and a colder winter this winter, a lot of reservoirs. You know, that's true of a lot of reservoirs. The Southwest really is suffering, but a lot of the other reservoirs are kind of in their normal state. They've been higher than that the last couple of years. That's why they had so much water going in. But if we don't get a substantial snowpack during this next year, I think a lot of reservoirs could be in trouble. So hopefully that's going to be the case. We'll just have to wait and see. Before we even get to the reservoir itself, if they're drawing that much water out, a lot of times that means there can be some significant fishing in the spillway below the reservoir. Have you checked that at all?
Well, I know they're catching some, a buddy of mine, he fishes the river quite often for big trout. And, you know, the Arkansas River below the Pueblo Dam is one of the most underfished fisheries there is as far as big trout, you know, and they catch some good walleyes underneath there, and there's a few good smallies that they catch in there, and normally what we do is we go, when they shut the water off for filling, we go down and all those fish will congregate in the pools, and we'll catch some smallies and some walleyes in those pools after the dam gets shut off there and the river goes down.
I caught a 20-pound catfish in that river.
I believe it. There's some big ones in there.
I was jigging for smallmouth bass. I fished it with both a fly rod and a conventional spinning rod. I had an 8-pound test on a little 3-inch grub. That was a trick, a trip, I'll tell you. But let's talk about Pueblo, the lake itself. Sam, what do you see in there? I know we get in a little later in the fall, the shad are going to school up. There'll be a spoon bite. What's going on right now?
Well, right now they're starting to, the shad schools are starting to really get congregated, and you're seeing them anywhere from the inch and a half. They've had a couple spawns, so you're seeing them anywhere from an inch and a half to 3 inch starting to really school up, and the fish are really starting to chase them all around. There's some wipers chasing them. There's lots of smallies and, you know, spotted and largemouth bass chasing them. And, you know, and another thing is they're still really shallow feeding. Once they're dropping that water, those crawdads got to come out, and they're feeding on those crawdads pretty good. So you can catch a smallie or, a big largemouth, throw him up on the boat, and he'll upchuck a crawdad and a bunch of shad at the same time. So they're feeding pretty good. And that fall bite, you're right, Terry. As soon as that water temperature gets down a little bit more, that fall bite's going to start, and it's going to be phenomenal.
Right. And, usually by now the water's colder than it is, too, because even we have a shorter daylight period, longer nighttime period. The sun hasn't got the same intense angle this time of the year. And so even when we get warm days, the water cools. But it's been so warm that I don't think it's near where it normally is. Normally, wouldn't you probably see it mid to low 60s? What are you seeing it now?
Right now, it's still in the 70s, Terry. We had 4 days of 4 days of record high temperatures down here just last week. So it's real promising for next week. We're supposed to get some 70 and some, high 60-degree days, our nights will be even cooler. So that'll start that water cooling down a lot, and that's what we really need. We need a good cool down to get those fish really active.
And, and unlike in the spring, a good cold front this time of the year almost activates the fish rather than shuts them down. They start thinking about winter, the water starts cooling, and then with those water receding, they're going to start to move away from the bank a little bit. Now, the bass are doing really well, I understand, the largemouth and smallmouth as far as the health of the population, and the walleyes too, and we didn't mention the walleyes. The walleyes are actually, they're going to chase those. When those shad school up, I wrote an article for In Fisherman in the 90s. In fact, it's in the critical concept books on walleye fishing about spooning for those through those tight schools of shad for the walleyes. But when you're doing that, you catch a lot of smallmouth, you catch crappies, and you can catch just huge catfish. In fact, the state record blue catfish was caught a couple years ago by Charlie Black doing just that. And so I don't see the largemouth quite go after the deep, big schools as much, do you?
No, and Terry, we've had a lot of, there's a lot of Eurasian water milfoil in the lake now, and that's really changed the fishery out there. You know, all those baby bluegill and shad, they have so much area to hide in now, and it's really increased the fishery. You know, I know it's a bad thing, but we've never had that in Pueblo, and we're starting to see a lot of it now, and the fishery is really turning around. I think that has a lot to do with it.
Oh, it provides great habitat, especially for the largemouth, because they love to ambush shad out of those and eat the bluegills, like you said. So if you were going out right now, we know it's going to just get better and better. You might have to scratch a little bit. If you were going to fish Pueblo in the next couple of days, how would you approach it?
Well, first thing in the morning is just throw topwater. Throw a shad imitator, a popar, maybe a little Zara puppy, something in that 3-inch range, which, most of the shad right now, the bigger shad that are focused on about that 3-inch range, something shad color, anything with a white bottom would be really good. Once the sun starts coming up, if it's windy, turn over to a spinnerbait or maybe even a chatterbait. And then when the sun gets a little higher and the bite stops, then I would just start dragging the twin-tail grub. Green pumpkin grub, and that's, basically I'm just telling you what I'm going to do in 2 weeks for a tournament down there that I have. So it's pretty much how I catch them this time of year, and the wind will decide what I do, because a lot of times if the wind's really blowing hard up against the banks, I'll burn a spinnerbait or a chatterbait in the wind. I'm not much of a crankbait fisherman. I know it's really, really good, but that's probably one of my faults, but you know, I like to catch them on other things.
Yeah, I was spinnerbait fishing up at Boyd. In fact, people can see the results on my Facebook page, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. And Ronnie Castiglione and I caught about 6 or 8 really nice largemouth. Not giants, but for the front range, they were nice fish on spinnerbaits. As the water there is receding and coming out of that grass, and the clumps of grass are holding fish and running spinnerbaits by that. You know, I haven't fished Pueblo much since the weed growth. Do you do much you know, pitching of plastic worms and jigs when they're in that area?
Oh, yeah. You know, Terry, we had a few weeks ago we fished, and we caught probably just out of one, you know, milfoil patch. It was probably only 20 yards long by 10 yards wide. You know, we pulled 6 out of there, you know, in a big catfish. And so they're relating to that, and they're up in there. You can see the shad blowing up through the milfoil, and the fish are really active through there. So it's a good thing to look for if you're seeing it. The water is dropping, so you'll see a lot more patches of it now. But the fish are relating to it. It's unbelievable.
That's one of my favorite ways to fish. In fact, I love taking like a 7-inch plastic worm and throwing it right to the weed edge or popping it in some holes, even where somebody else might throw a jig. I love that 6-inch, just a blue fleck worm, and drop it in those holes. And they just can't seem to resist it. Now, you can't cover a lot of water doing that. And if they're not there, you can spend a lot of time fishing for no fish. But it's just a fun way to fish, I think. Let's switch gears a little bit, Sam. What about some of the other southeastern reservoirs like John Martin? What are you hearing?
John Martin, the Colorado Springs Bassmasters, had a tournament down there last week. And the first day leading the tournament in 5 fish was 15 pounds. Big fish of the tournament was right about 4.8, so you're looking at one pretty close to 5 pounds, and I think it was over 24 pounds to win the tournament. So, and that's a 2-day event, and I mean, 12 pounds a day was pretty average. And from what I've heard down there, that you know, it's not pressured. You're still catching tons of white bass. So if you're throwing topwater and you don't know what you're going to get, whether it be a largemouth, smallmouth, or a white bass. But, you know, most of the fish that they're catching on topwater schooling are the white bass. That population's really exploded down there.
Yeah, one of the biologists down there was on a few weeks ago, and he said, if you just want to catch some fish or take a kid fishing, or I love to do it because they're great table fare too. He said, if you can't catch white bass at John Martin right now, you shouldn't fish. He said, pretty much is what he said. He said, it's just amazing. Now, we all know that things can turn off and get tough, and we've all had those days where we go out cocky and self-confident and get schooled. But the white bass are exploding down there. And, you know, there's always been a decent largemouth bass population, but I think when the water was so low, they weren't getting off the spawn as well. And just like Pueblo, with the high water years we've had and them buying some water, that largemouth population, there's some great habitats, some great structures, some great cover in that lake. I've done really well for some almost giant largemouth down there at times. And the sockeye population is getting back up to in the mid 20-inch range. There's a lot of fish. So there's just, you're right. It doesn't get a lot of pressure because it's a bit of a drive, but it's worth it. If you just want to go spend a day or 2 days, you know, how long does it take from Pueblo to John Martin?
From here, it's only about 1.5 hours. So yeah, You're looking at about 2.5 hour drive from Denver.
Yeah, and you know, 2.5 hours from Denver, a lot of people don't want to make that drive one day, so they want to stay. There are some accommodations out in that area, but there aren't a ton. But even staying in Pueblo and driving out isn't that bad. Or you make your choice. Look at the weather. Either go east to John Martin or go west to Pueblo. And it's just
down to Trinidad.
Oh, Trinidad. Trinidad's have you fished Trinidad much lately?
Oh, yeah. Trinidad is really on fire. And, you know, the lake is dropping really low right now, you know, and anybody that fishes Trinidad, it's a great time to go out and, you know, mark on your graph all the humps and stuff that you're fishing when hot water's high and wonder why all those fish are there. So there's a lot of ton of humps out there, but a lot of them have boulders and rocks, and some of them are just plain, and you see why the fish concentrate. So I've been down there just on my graph and just graphing everything and you know, wave pointing a lot of spots. But the smallmouth fishery at Trinidad is just incredible right now. And, you know, there's guys catching walleyes, and they're catching them from the bank, too. They're not great big or anything like that, but there's several of them. It's a really good fishery. And Terry, like I said, we went down on 4th of July, and there was 3 boats. So, it's just one of those things. It's just not a pressured fishery, and I think that's what makes it better.
Yeah, I used to fish Trinidad quite a bit. In fact, they did a couple of television shows down there years ago. And since I've moved from Denver to Fort Collins, I haven't really gone back to Trinidad, I think once or twice only, because it is a little bit longer drive for me. But it is a tremendous, tremendous fishery. And there are accommodations right in the town of Trinidad you can stay, and you're right there. And it's a great fishery and a great lake. And you're right, it just gets underfished. The catfish there are fantastic, too. Sam, I got to let you go, but if you could only fish one place tomorrow, where would you go?
Well, I'm 12 minutes from the North Shore Marina, so I'll be at Pueblo.
All right. Thank you, my friend. As always, great information, great talking to you.
You too, Terry. Have a great day, sir. Thank you.
You bet. Sam Heckman, just a tremendous resource. You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.